Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio. I am super, super excited today. I have one of my favorite guys. I've been trying to get on this forever. He's next to impossible, and primarily because he deals with so many A-list people and running their businesses, and really, most importantly, helping them really scale things. Welcome, Sean Vossler.
Dude, David, awesome to be here and really excited to break down some fun stuff for us today.
Well, thanks. I'm super excited. I've followed Sean for a long time. I've seen him at a lot of different events. We've ran into each other, and just with schedules and everything else, it's tough to tie him down. Most importantly, Sean has such an awesome track record for scaling businesses and going from basically your typical web design developer to a man who has a huge, huge business helping all the big boys play the real game here of using funnels in their marketing. So with that, Sean, let's go ahead and dive right in. If you don't mind, give people a little bit of background on you so they know where you're coming from, and then let's talk about this main topic here later.
Yeah, sure, Dave. Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned kind of the scaling side of things, and in my own business, it's been a fun learning experience. One that, you know, it's kind of been feels sometimes like you're running through a dark hallway and running into things. But over the last 4 or 5 years, yeah, I've turned my web design. I had a web design job, right? So I actually worked for a company as a web designer, which was a lot of not fun. And you know, slowly worked up learning and earning over the years to managing a lot of companies' marketing now with my agency, and changed the pricing models quite a bit and changed the structure quite a bit. But you know, some of the fundamentals all stay the change are stay the same. So today, I'm really hoping to help anybody who is you know, in that world of building funnels for people, or even for themselves, you know, sharing some of the tips and tricks there. But if you're a service provider, I'm really hoping to share some of the insights that have helped me go from you know, basically scratching at a few bucks an hour to you know, hitting the first set of six-figure months in my own business without killing myself in the process, which is always a nice addition. Yeah.
Well, let's jump right into it, because I know one of the things we were talking about, you made mention of, is of really trying to find a way of building a business to where you can start landing not just, you know, a couple thousand dollars for a funnel, but I mean, you're getting big, like five-figure deals here. So if you might kind of dive right in and tell people, how do you do it?
Sure. So that's, you know, it's a fun topic, because I think a lot of people, service providers in general, you know, there's two types of service providers. There's the ones that focus so much on the sale and the pricing and everything that everything else doesn't seem to matter. So they oversell, right? And then there's people who basically undersell. Like they just they worry a bit too much about the deliverable, which you really can't you know, think too much about that part of it. But then they don't do the pricing right. So they charge $1,000, $2,000 for a website. And, you know, when I first started, I looked at a $2,000 website as the best thing in the world. And I was like, this is amazing. You know, I can't believe it. But then you kind of hit this feast and famine up and down roller coaster where, you know, you'll sell a website or a funnel. And we'll talk a little bit more about the verbiage there. You know, what's a website? What's a funnel? What are we actually selling here? That's a big part of it. But, you know, you might sell it for $2,000, even $5,000. But then you have to shift from salesperson over to developer, designer, implementer. And depending on how, you know, how much of a pain that client is, or how little, you know, how oversold it was, you might find yourself with a month of really heavy lifting to deliver that funnel or website, whatever you're actually selling. And then you don't have time during that time to actually sell the next product. So that's why they call it the feast and famine. You get paid, then you have to work, and then you have to go back to the selling floor, right? So I got, you know, I started in a company at $13 an hour doing that. And it was, my car was falling apart. Like, it wasn't going to be able to pay the bills doing that. So I quit, started my own business, and I fell into that cycle of sell a website, build it, sell a website, build it, and like it basically turned into another job. It wasn't a business. And, you know, that to me, I really had to find another way, you know. And there's this little sidetrack to my story where I went from kind of the corporate web design world to more of the, we'll call it the internet marketing world. So my first boss, if you want to call it that, in the industry was a fellow named Lewis Howes, and started with him 4 or 5 years ago. And what was funny to me was at that point in my life, like I'd just gotten out of school, I was in a, you know, kind of a crappy studio apartment in Ohio. And I was like, I'm not sure exactly where I want to go. You know, I know I'm not happy with what I'm doing exactly, but there seems to be this weird world of these entrepreneurs that I don't know what they're doing, but they're traveling all the time, having fun, lifestyle kind of businesses, right? I was like, what are they doing? So I figured the best way to learn that was to actually work for them. So we'll call it my first five-figure deal, which is really, it turned into another job. So you got to be careful of that. You might close one and it turns into a year-long job. But this was my first, you know, $4,000 a month client. And what I did was basically I really studied their stuff. Really got to know their business, what they were doing, how they were doing it. And, you know, we'll talk a bit more about that client getting process, but I knew what I wanted in a client, right? I didn't want these mom and pop kind of businesses that their budgets just weren't there for the kind of business and lifestyle I was really looking to build, right? So I started looking out, just studying the different types of businesses out there, the different kind of entrepreneurs and things like that. And I came across this world, we'll call it the solopreneur, the lifestyle type of entrepreneur. And my very first client in that world, or who I wanted to be my client, I guess, was a fellow named Lewis Howes. And I was kind of studying what he was doing. He seemed to be doing some really cool stuff online, and I knew I wanted to be involved. And that's where the first kind of part of this transition from the feast and famine to being able to actually build a real agency business around the websites and funnels I was building started, was realizing that I needed to change the kind of clients that I was going after. You know, I won't tell the whole story, but basically I stalked Lewis for a couple months. Like I just added, I knew they were who I wanted to work with, but I didn't want to just go in and try to just sell them on hiring me. I kept giving them good feedback on their pages and their sites. And, you know, I had a skill. So I said, basically, I'm going to earn their respect, because I really didn't have any portfolio pieces in their world yet. I didn't really have I had a good client history from more corporate structure, but in their world, I didn't have that yet. So I would, you know, give them tidbits here and there, give them some feedback, do some reviews on their pages and help them with little things here and there, some graphics, things like that. But I never really charged them and never really proposed anything big. I wanted to build the relationship first. And that's really the first key point for selling to the right clients is building that connection, if you know it's someone you want to work with and you know that they have the budget, right, to actually pay what you're wanting to charge, is don't be afraid to give value first to earn the conversation. So over time, and it's amazing how often it seems to be that these spontaneous things tend to happen in business, but they were in the middle of a product launch. And I remember it was like 12:30 at night one time. I got a call from Lewis Howes' business partner, Sean Malarkey. And basically, right in the middle of their launch, their website just crashed. Like everything had broken and it seemed like everything. It was one of those situations like we've all been there with launches. And their developer, basically they'd been outsourcing and they couldn't get a hold of them and it was a mess. So they gave me the login and I went into the database and did some stuff and got it back up. Didn't charge them. It was just like I wanted to prove that I was reliable at this point. I really wanted to get that in their head. So basically after that, you know, it did start a good conversation of what I could do with them, how I could help them better in their business. And I got them as that first client, you know, something around $4,000 a month. So fast forward quite a few years, you know, worked with them for a few years and brought on other clients in that world and really built out my I guess we'll call it the collection of clients. And, you know, it started leading me down this path of mapping out the strategy and system that I actually use to get clients and provide value. And, you know, anybody who's listening to this, I'm sure, you know, they're looking at their business if they're a service provider and saying, you know, what are some ways I can sell my products for more? What are ways that I can implement those things that I sell faster and bring better results for my clients? Those were really the three key things that I was looking at in my business. So, you know, I started with that. I guess the first part of this really is defining a bit better of what you're actually selling. And, you know, ClickFunnels, when you look at it as a tool, it's very specific what it does, right? They're not a big bag of tricks. They don't try to do, they're not trying to be everything to everybody. They're not trying to be a project manager system. They're not trying to be, you know, all these different systems. They have a few set of core things that they're really good at. They're very specialized in. And the same, you know, started to go for my business. I used to be kind of a jack of all trades. You know, what was I actually selling? I would do video work, graphic work, web design, funnels, all this stuff. And, you know, for me at the time, it made sense to try to do everything for everybody. But it turned out that I was actually convoluting my brand quite a bit. So anybody out there, that's kind of the first step if you have a service business, is get real clear on what you're providing people. Now I have a very, very clear set of deliverables for my clients. You know, I make sure that they understand exactly what I'm going to be doing, what I'm going to be providing for them. And it actually changed quite a bit. And this is kind of a big tip if anybody, you know, if you are selling funnels or websites or using ClickFunnels as a foundation for services that you provide, you're not actually selling funnels. You're not actually selling websites. You're not actually selling online presences. You need, if you want to charge the prices that you need, I believe, to sustain a business, you know, my minimum now for a funnel, we'll call it a funnel. I don't even sell it like that anymore. I'll explain why in a second. Is $20,000. Like that's the bottom level. That'll get you, you know, maybe a page. It's not particularly pertinent what I'm building for somebody. It's more important why I'm building it. And this is the key to selling these high ticket funnels or websites, is getting to their end goal and doing a little bit of math. And, you know, Dave, I think this is interesting when you look at ClickFunnels, the pricing compared to something like WordPress. If you compare the two by price, right? You look at like, okay, I could set up a WordPress host and it's $10 a month, and then I can go set up a free WordPress, like the total budget for a WordPress site, right, is like $10 or something. If you did it from the just bare bones. And ClickFunnels is more than that. But the funny thing is, they're not like ClickFunnels isn't trying to sell you that they're a competitor to WordPress. They're actually selling that they're going to save you time and money, because they do. Like, that was a big thing in my business when I started switching over to ClickFunnels. My per hour per project instantly started to be cut in half, and now I can build out a full funnel in a matter of hours, where if I had to set up a server, the domain name, and make sure everything was working with WordPress, install plugins, all this stuff, I was out dozens of hours, where I can just go on there, add a domain, set up a page, already have a couple funnels pre-built. I just go in there and swap and copy. I can have a funnel ready to go in a day. Easy. So to me, the same thing needs to apply to what you're, you know, as a service provider, what you're actually selling. You're not selling funnels. You're selling the end result. So maybe you're going after a customer. And this is kind of segueing into the next part, like how to find potential customers. It really comes down, like, if you want to make a $20,000 sale, you need to be able to deliver about 10 times the value. That's the rough figure, right? If it's a $20,000 sale, it should be bringing them about $200,000 worth of real world value in a certain amount of time, right? So about 10%. And
Sean, I think that's real important people understand that part, because I think too often that this becomes such a commodity to think, and like you made mention, oh, it's a website or it's a funnel. If you start looking more at the ROI aspect of it, I think that's fantastic, because that's where the value, that's how you can charge for that kind of value. You're almost selling money at a discount. It's going to cost you 20 grand, or you're going to invest 20 and you're going to make 200.
Right. And it's not, you know, a lot of people look at that, and this is the biggest objective I get from, you know, web developers is that, well, it feels like I'm cheating somebody or something, right? Well, if you're in the world of freelance, here's the truth is you're no longer a freelancer unless you just want to have a job all day, every day and be kind of a slave to clients. You're a business owner, and businesses have overhead, they have expenses, they have taxes, and it gets really expensive to run a business. People don't tend to do the math. So a $20,000 project for my business, I have, you know, my overhead, I have my expenses. Like it's not an amazing win because I want an actual scalable business, not just me sitting in a room building pages all day. I don't want that anymore. So I built a business. So I had to change the way that I sell those services to actually reflect the results that they're going to bring. And Dave, to do that, it was just a matter of changing vocabulary. That was it, like in my own mind and also with how I discussed with clients and going after the right clients. So once I found the right type of client, and it usually comes down to math, okay, how much are they generating per year? If they're not doing over $500,000 a year, I'm probably not going to be able to help them all that much. That's one interesting, funny thing. Like if you're just working with brand new businesses, I mean, unless they have a pretty big budget for ad spend, marketing, or they have a big email list, like if you're coming in and building a funnel, you're just going to have to really rely on the traffic that they're producing, which they might not even be producing yet, to get that end result. And most of the time I've found is you're setting yourself and them up for failure, right? So they might not have a plan to actually get people to the funnel you're building, which really, really makes it hard to make your funnel work, right? So I found that that's a huge part. So what I would do is, you know, I really like working in the info market world and software world. So I would go out to find potential clients. It's the simplest technique in the world, and anybody can do it. It's really a two or three prong approach. You know, I would start with finding products that I like or I can believe in, right? So I actually promote ClickFunnels as an affiliate because I use it, I really believe in it, and it's easy for me to sell to my audience. But I also, you know, from a client standpoint, I want to be able to believe in their product or their services. So that's the first criteria. Next is that they can actually afford it and they have somewhat of a marketing budget. I had a mentor of mine who would teach, you know, basically the idea of once you find your potential client, you know, sending them what's called lumpy mail, where it's you would send this you'd send this like direct mail piece with a little trash can in a mail bag, and inside was a link, you know, your marketing sucks or should be thrown away, let me show you how to make, you know, a new make the most out of your marketing budget, because he'd send that to people in the yellow pages who are spending $20,000 on a yellow page ad. So I took a little bit different approach. I actually, the technique I use, and it mainly just came naturally to me, was I would find out who the decision maker was. So if it's a company I wanted to work with or a brand or product, I'd find out who that was. I'd friend them on Facebook. It's a little tougher to do because now, just because people are a little more not crazy ad friendly anymore. We used to be able to just add everybody. yeah, like Russell. I don't think me and Russell are even friends on Facebook yet. You know, it's like so sometimes this doesn't work as well. But I'd add them, and then I'd do one more thing that's really important for long-term relationships is I would actually set them as a what's called a close friend, and you can do this by going to their page and clicking, you know, under the friend. There's a little drop down. You can set them as a close friend. And what that did was notify me whenever they made a post. Now, I'm a pretty outgoing guy. Like, I like networking, and it was a good way for me to create a personal connection with people by actually interacting with them. So the first thing was, and this is a Gary Vaynerchuk thing with his book, Jab, 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 Hook, right? I would just – the jab is giving value. And I did this with Lewis, how I got that first big break client. But I would go out and just – anytime they post a question in a Facebook group, I would give them a, you know, a good response. If they posted something about their business, I kept it pretty business, but I kept it business casual. You know, Facebook is a business casual kind of area. I didn't like LinkedIn because it's like I always felt like somebody was trying to sell somebody in LinkedIn. I know a lot of people have a lot of good results there. For me, it just it wasn't quite my cup of tea, so I stayed where I felt comfortable. But over time, and you know, sometimes it's within a few weeks. I'm not a very aggressive salesperson because I know this strategy works so well that they'll end up coming to me. Eventually, a conversation would strike up. Eventually, some way, whether it be a Facebook message from me or them, it would start up. You know, they either asking me about what I'm doing, or I'd reach out and say, hey, I see you're, you know, I'd do something specific like, hey, I see you're launching this product or service. Here's some thoughts. Maybe you can apply it to your marketing. And 100% of the time, it would start a conversation and usually would lead to a call. And Dave, this is the interesting thing that I think people, they just don't have the patience for it. But if you know exactly what you're looking for in a client, you're going to be willing to build that relationship first. And then at the next kind of fork in the road is really evaluating together whether it's a good project. So you'd have the conversation, here's what they're looking to do. And this is kind of what I call the math phase. We've already kind of done a little bit of math. We have a good idea of what their business generates per year. And then at the next phase, before I would even try to sell them on anything, I would really try to get an idea of what their goals are, right? So where they want to be and how they plan to get there. So Dave, let's pretend for a second that you were a potential client of mine and friend through Facebook. You are about to launch a product and you need a funnel. You might even have your own funnel team. You know, a lot of my clients already have a team of web designers or internal marketing team or whatever.
Sure.
Right. So yep. You reach out to me and you see one of my blog posts or something that says, how to optimize your launch so you can make more and less time, something like that. You reach out to me and say, let's have a conversation. I saw this post you made about, how to optimize a launch, which is another kind of segue over to another part of the strategy, which is I do run a, it's kind of complicated. I need a whiteboard to show it thoroughly, but basically like to build my authority in the funnel world, I have a blog where I write about this stuff and I give away the treasure map. I tell people exactly how I market, but they don't want to do it. That's the funny thing. Like they don't want to build out these funnels. They don't want to they really don't. They want to focus and they really should be focusing on what they do best, which is building a great product. So they'd come to me or we'd have this conversation, Dave, where you'd start telling me, I'd ask you about what you're launching. You'd tell me about the product. Most of the time, and I'm sure you've experienced this with your team at ClickFunnels, your team is so passionate about the product that a lot of times they don't really think so much about the product. I'm sure Russell does, or the marketing. I know Russell does and you do, but as a team, like it's very product focused, I'm sure. So I would have to, I usually have to drive the conversation and say, well, what do you need to generate this year in sales to be happy with where your business is going? And they'd tell me their goal. You know, we're doing about $200,000 a month now, and we want by the end of the year to be at $400,000. So basically, they want to double their sales, right? So at that point, I have a very key figure, which is their goal is to double their sales over the course of a year. So I say, well, what's your plan to do that now? And they may have a strategy, and they'll explain that to me. And then what I like to do at that point is say, well, okay, your product is, it's called $100 and you're selling for 200 grand a month, you'd be selling 2,000 units. Okay, so you need to go from 2,000 units to 4,000. And then I would just start doing math. Literally, I'll pull up a calculator or a spreadsheet and start doing the math. And eventually we'll get to a lead number, right? So a number of leads that they need to generate per month more to double their money. All the while, I know if I can hit that number, which in this case would be like a 2,000 more leads or more sales a month, if I know that I can hit that number, then to them, that is worth $200,000 a month, right? And I,
Perfect.
I at, That's a beautiful thing to know. If you don't know those numbers, you're not going to be able to know how to price it and how to prioritize it in your world of influence. If you're courting a couple different clients, for your time to money as a business owner and as an investor, you're going to want to pick the client who you can do the best for and who's going to bring you the highest ROI and bring the most value to them. So if you know you can bring them 2,000 more sales and it's worth $200,000 more for them a month, then you shouldn't be afraid to say, well, you know, for what you're looking to do, it's going to take us X amount of time, and it goes into kind of the proposal phase, right? And usually now, instead of saying, okay, that'd be $20,000 a month, I will, if I'm confident in my ability to reach that number, I'll just do it purely on equity. And that's where my business now is. It's shifted from a retainer to equity. So I'll charge anywhere from 10 to, you know, 50%, depending on what I think is fair, to actually build out the plan to get that extra 2,000 sales. And I got to, you know, over the years, I've learned a lot of different ways to do that. But that's all the conversation is. It's not really how we're going to get there. You know, we'll discuss that at a later date. But I will literally put it in my wheelhouse, say, listen, if I can't reach you there, you don't have to pay me, right? So I take a lot of
risk. I love that idea.
Yeah, so that equity risk I only take with the perfect client, like the client that I know I can get there. They have the budget. They have, you know, they can get the traffic, and I know that my type of marketing will work. And I'll be honest, Dave, like, you know, webinars seem to be, for me right now, the kind of cream of the cream for what's working for most folks. And it's mainly because it's just a controlled environment where we can get the message, the problem, the solution, all that across in the webinar. So I'll have that conversation with them. I'll share with them some ideas, and I'll say, listen, we don't have to make a decision on this call. This is the first call, by the way. I don't particularly like to put people on the spot to make the decision right there, because at the end of the day, I have about a 100% close rate with this method, and I'm like, why mess with that, right? So at this point, I'll say, listen, let me go back. I'm going to put some ideas down on paper, and I'm going to send them over to you, because I want to give it some thought. And truth is, a lot of times I will have to give it some thought, like, how are we going to get that number? And then that's what I'll do, is I'll go, but here's kind of a fun thing. I actually usually make proposals themed. And this is a funny little, like, one of my big first big sales was with a client who was doing a launch and ended up selling a $20,000 package. They ended up doing $1 million in sales in 2 weeks, which I was kind of bummed that I didn't do equity on that one. But anyways, okay. But what I did is I actually made the proposal House of Cards themed, because I knew he was a huge House of Cards fan. He'd been talking about it on Facebook. And I made the proposal. You know, I put all the normal things you put in, like timelines, you know, what we'd be doing, you know, how much it would cost, all that. But I put in, you know, every between the main points in the presentation, I'd put a picture from House of Cards and a quote, you know. And he literally posted on Facebook the next day. He's like, I just got the best proposal I've ever received. So that's kind of a fun thing. I've done that a few times, you know, with bigger clients that I definitely know that it would be appropriate for them. It might not be good for a corporate type deal, but you never know. The idea is you want to stand out at that point. And you know, a lot of people get a lot of proposals, and if you can come to the top of the pack, that's always a good thing. But yeah, at that point, I'll send them a write up. Sometimes it's super simple, sometimes it's more advanced, like that proposal I was talking about. But I'll spell it all out. I'll do the math for them, and then I do something that we all do on our sales pages, but a lot of times we don't do it in a presentation. I'll actually, in the close of the presentation, I'll explain to them kind of the risks. You know, that's for better or worse, that is what most people are driven by emotion to buy. Almost, yeah, everyone really is. So if you explain the risks of going with someone else or doing another method, you know, you're making a pretty compelling argument at that point. So I'll literally spell out, like, you know, if you go with someone else and they're delayed a couple weeks because most people are unreliable, I have a track record, blah, blah, blah. you might lose out on X amount of revenue by not being ready to go next week, you know, kind of thing. And that,
Sean, that's really cool. I don't think people understand the importance of that. It's almost a risk reversal.
Yeah, exactly.
Really cool.
And it's something simple that you can do. And when, you know, anybody who's familiar with copy, like that's what you do is you explain the risks of not taking action. And a lot of times it's opportunity cost. It's like, you know, here's the opportunity.
Right.
And here's how we're going to do it. You know, I can't guarantee that we're going to reach this number. I never do, but the risk is all on me on this point because I'm doing equity. And if you're doing a retainer, like that's totally fine too. I found it's more of a headache. I prefer to do equity and just get the right kind of client because retainer, generally to the client, they see it as, you know, a piggy bank of time. They say, I'm going to call every day and see exactly what, which is not fun for most people. So anyways, yeah, I would, you know, I'd give them that and I'd say, listen, let's do a call once you have a chance to look it over. And a lot of times I'll just leave it open-ended. Like I've found that it works so well that they're begging me to hire me at that point. So that's a beautiful kind of change of pace for most freelancers is the client's chasing you at this point because they want that end result, right? Don't oversell. It's always better to undersell and overdeliver, of course. Like I never like I usually I'll take my estimates and cut it by a third just so when I do hit that big number, yeah, they're happy, right?
Of course.
So that's yeah, and that's really it. And then, you know, obviously you want to be able to execute it fast and you know, not to make it sound like a huge pitch for ClickFunnels, but like that's a big benefit for me from ClickFunnels. This is why I agreed to do this podcast is at the end of the day, the faster I can build things, change things, test things, the faster I can get to the end result that I promised the client. So ClickFunnels being drag and drop, no server setup, all that makes it super easy from a service provider perspective to go in, set up a funnel for them. And usually I'll have them sign up for their own account because I don't necessarily want the you know, the volume all through my account. But
sure.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of it is it's fast, it's easy, and has 99% of the functions I need already built in, and anything else I usually can figure out anyways. So that's the beauty of having that fast action software piece to it. But again, I want to stress just one more thing because I don't think I stress it enough. You have to know what you're actually selling. That's really the bottom line. You know, all these other techniques I was talking about, principles, things like that, pretty cool. You can use them, all that. But the big overall picture here is you're not actually selling funnels. You're selling growing their business. You're selling increasing leads. Sometimes I'll redo their whole product because I like not me personally, but I'll give them all the things they need. I'll redo their pricing. I'll say, listen, if you want to reach that number, it's not going to happen like this. You need to actually increase your pricing. Like there's some strategies that you as a consultant now, you're no longer a funnel builder. You're someone who's helping them with their business. You might have to change the pricing. You might have to change the brand name. You might have to do more than you feel that you'd necessarily be comfortable with sometimes. But it's not about what you're comfortable with. It's about the end result that you're going to bring them. So know your numbers, know exactly what you're selling, and change your vocabulary around. You know, if you're calling yourself
Sean,
a funnel expert
awesome.
Now, awesome. Well, there you go. Well, thanks, man.
No, I think that's. I hope everyone's understanding the importance of that. I mean, obviously, too many times people think of this they're selling a commodity, and when you can start getting into more of a consultative type of selling, where especially obviously it helps when you've got equity on the line there. But even if you don't, as soon as you can raise yourself from I provide a website to listen, I'm helping you scale your business, that changes the game completely. So I think that's really super cool.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is like you can start with the skill you have. So a lot of people who are working with ClickFunnels, you know, they might be copywriters or actual web designers who are good with graphics, and you can supplement like when you actually get the right customer and they're paying you enough. Like you can supplement the skills that you're not good at, right? So if I'm selling a $2,000 website, I have literally zero budget to hire a copywriter. But if I'm doing $20,000 a month with a client, I can hire a copywriter to build off of what I basically know is good copy, but they're an expert at it. So I can say, listen, redo this sales page, we'll test it, and I have a budget for it now. And I can build a client if I want, but usually I'll do it just out of my pocket to up my own value, right? So that's the beauty. It's actually a bigger, you want to, it's the right way to sell it, not just for your business, but for the value you're bringing to your customer, because you're going to be able to invest in things that are needed to hit those numbers. You might have to pull out of your own pocket to do some ad testing. You know, there's things you might have to do. But at the end of the day, you're no longer a freelancer web designer. You're now a marketing consultant or business growth consultant, whatever you want to call it. I don't particularly have a title. I just I adapt to the situation, I suppose, because everyone's going to have a
look. I totally agree with that. Well, that is awesome, bud. Thank you so very much. I know we're kind of wrapping things up. I know you got a ton going on your side of things, and I really appreciate the time and everything else you've spent with us. So if obviously people who are listening are going to go, well, I need more of Sean. How do I get more Sean Vossler in my life here? So as people try to reach out to you, what's the best way of getting a hold of you?
Sure. So I'd say the best way is jump over to my blog. I tend to catalog all the fun marketing stuff I'm learning as I work with clients, and I write a bit about this agency stuff. And that site is increase.academy. It's one of those fancy new domain name things, but so it's not increaseacademy.com, it's increase.academy, and you'll find my blog on there and links to, you know, social media. You can connect with me on Facebook and all that fun stuff, and that's usually where I'm hanging out, is on the old blog.
That's fantastic. Well, I really, really appreciate your time today, and again, we'll put those down in the show notes for sure as far as the link. But again, this is going to be one of those podcasts, especially if you're a consultant, you're going to want to, or working with clients, this is one you're going to want to definitely listen to a couple of times and take good notes on. So, Sean, thank you so very much. You always over-deliver, and I really appreciate your time today, bud. Thanks.
Absolutely, Dave. Look forward to growing with you guys as we keep improving ClickFunnels and building out awesome stuff.
Thanks for listening to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast. If you'd like to be notified anytime we release a new episode, just subscribe over at funnelhackerradio.com. In addition to that, we'd love to send you a free gift. You can find that free gift at funnelhackerradio.com/free trial. One last thing is, we love giving away cars. So if you'd like access to a free dream car, all you have to do is go to funnelhackerradio.com/dream car, and you'll get all the details. Thanks again for listening.